Wednesday evening, 1/11/23. Title is Living from the Inside Out. Isaiah 61. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. I personally believe this is where we're headed. Absolutely. My focus is trees of righteousness. What is inside the tree will reflect what is on its branches. You know, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. All right, Jeremiah 17. Seven and eight. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose help the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So this tree is so, it's got the inner source of water from its roots. So what happens? The tree, if there's a drought, this tree doesn't notice, because it's got an inside source. It's not moved when drought comes, but it continues to flourish and has green leaves. Yep. Okay. Jesus came to reprogram you from the propaganda machine. We know that, of the enemy. He had to get our thinking right, whether it be an individual or a nation or the whole world. You know, we hear stats all the time of how many people that they believe are really awake, and how many don't care, never will care, you know. And so I don't know. But I just know this. If we're tapped into that source, we're where we need to be. Because there's a lot of stuff floating around out there. A lot of stuff people are saying that I don't agree with, that are not biblical. And they've had dreams or death experiences and all kinds of things, and they've experienced these things. But if we're tapped into this inside source, then whatever they say is not going to make any difference. It doesn't mean that we criticize them. It doesn't mean that we say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. But how do we judge it? By the Word. Does the Word substantiate your dream, your vision, your whatever you have to say? Does the Word of God substantiate it? Yes or no? See, that's the inside source that we walk by, we live by. All right, stable. Okay, Matthew 13. We should pray, Lord, what you haven't planted, but it will be rooted up out of me, in Jesus' name. What my Father has not planted will be rooted up out of me. Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You know, it makes you think that maybe there'll be people that they won't know nothing till the very end, till the tares have been pulled out. Because of their mindsets, see, they've been programmed to this world system and its ways. Yeah, even though, you know, it says the enemy did this. How'd the enemy do this? By listening to him? Letting him plant things in you by listening to the world, the narrative of the world? All right, go back a page. This is 12:33. Jesus said here, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Yeah. For I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of the judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Are we hearing right or not? This is the way the kingdom operates. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It's all about sowing and reaping. Good or bad. Okay? All right, now go over with me to Luke chapter 4. Starting with 17. Now Jesus came into a time in history that was very dark. The Romans were probably some of the cruelest there's ever been on the earth. They're really a derivative of the Nazis that we see in Hitler and in today. Cruel. And so he came into the generation at that time, and he began to go against the propaganda, to go against the narrative. All right, 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and of covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he came to bring God's narrative, the good news. They had the fake news. The tyranny. They lived under tyranny. Like we have. We've lived under tyranny. The word campaign to free humanity from the fake news of the enemy. The word campaign. Jesus was the word. He became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Okay. Proverbs 18:21 says this, Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's all about the narrative that you choose to believe. It's either in the natural realm, what you see, what you perceive with your senses, or what you tap into as a tree of righteousness with your spirit. Two worlds are going on around us. One unseen, one openly seen. Yeah. The thing about that tree by the river of water, it does not take any notice when heat comes, for it has been inside, it has been an inside source to the water. You know, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Doesn't it make sense that we are that tree in a sense, and we have the living water inside of us to pull our supply from without being touched by the world and what is going on in it? Isn't that what it's all about? Walking uprightly and righteous in your generation and not being touched by what the devil's doing? Even in drought, that tree remains tapped into the water source. This is Isaiah 49:10. There's probably a lot of scriptures on this. I just picked a few so you'll get the point. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You know, after he will talk to the woman at the well, and he was physically tired. It said he sat down by the well. And the disciples went into town to buy food. And when he came back, you know, he dealt with the woman at the well. And they were trying to get him to eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know nothing about. You know not of. What was he talking about? That inside supply. All right, 49:10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. God guides us. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Let's just read that because, I mean, isn't this our source of supply and everything that we need? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You need your soul restored? Mind, will, emotions all over the place. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's one thing about David. He was very thankful. And he knew where his source was. And he suffered a lot of trouble. And in those times of trouble, that's what he would say. God was faithful. And he'll be faithful to us. Is David an exception? No, not at all. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Sounds like Psalms 23 to me. This is the gospel that Jesus presented. He showed us how to walk in the kingdom of God and transfer ourselves out of the power of the devil and his system. It's just a thought away. See, you take the thought. You decide. It's up to you. It's up to the individual. How am I going to think today? Am I going to think based on what I'm experiencing? Or am I going to think based on what I know? What God has said to me? All right, y'all know this, and I've taught it so many times. We need to do it again. This is Matthew 6. It says here, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Two kingdoms. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. No thought for your life. What all does your life entail? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Good thoughts can change things, but bad thoughts, well, they can change things too. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We act like sometimes that God is asleep and he doesn't know what's going on in our life. Where are you, Lord? But we forget he's up ahead. He's leading, you know? He's leading. He said he'd be with us. He'd never leave us or forsake us. Even to the very end of the age, he would not do so. Yeah. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? What are we going to do about this? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He already knows. Says he knows it before you even ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's our source. We hear that so much, that word source. I don't want to say God anymore, they say source. Well, he is. He is source. He is our source of supply. He's everything we'll ever need. So he wants us to seek him about what we need answers for. All right. Do you see what he's saying here? Taking that thought. What thought? Whatever is against God and the ways of the kingdom. What am I going to do? He already has you. He already knows everything about you. It's not about what you're going to do, but what your source, God, is going to do. What has he already said in his word that he has already done? God, you said, you have supplied all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All? Really, Lord, all? He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. By his stripes ye were healed. Well, it sure don't look like it, Lord. Whose narrative are you believing? All right. It is these cares, these thoughts that cause crop failure. Okay, we're going to read a few scriptures here. 1 Peter 5. There's a song that talks about, we're like a tree planted by the waters. Sometimes all it takes is just a little tune to bring you up out of that deep place that Satan would so love you to dwell. Like I said before, and I've said it this, I don't know if it's Sunday or last Wednesday, about Satan would have you roo, 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 like a dog chasing its tail all the time, never getting anything done, toiling and spinning about everything all the time. Most people live and die their whole lives like that. And I'm talking Christians. The Lord spoke to me. He said, we have to totally restructure the church. We're totally restructuring the country, the nation, the nations. All has to be restructured in every area. Every area. Well, in the personal life too. All right. 1 Peter 5. Wait a minute. 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you're having a conniption, is that humbling yourself? No, it's saying, I've gone back to my fleshly ways. It works better. Does it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Some of you have seen to yourself so long that you don't know any other way than to see to yourself. You just go to the same old thing that you've always done that never worked before anyway, but the devil just leads you right back to it. Oh, let's go back to Egypt. Wow, what's there? Is there anything there? There isn't anything there. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for a sucker. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It depended on who the source is, who you choose. Either you humble yourselves. Really, going back to where you know not to go to, that's pride. That's thinking, I can do better myself than God can. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to us for a while now about pulling aside and looking inside when we have issues. Here's what we get. This is where we get our supply. Just like that tree planted by the water. I just recently had someone a few months back ask me to pray about a situation, and I had a thus saith the Lord about it. And here they are contacting me again to pray about the situation. And I'm thinking, I can't. I can't. The Lord's already rendered his judgment. It's time for them to seek God about what God said. But they're going to the other sources. And I'm just going, Lord, I don't get it. I really don't get it. All right, let's look at some more scriptures. Matthew 12. You get to where you don't even know what to say to people because they absolutely don't get it. They ask you to pray and you have a word, and either they get mad at you because of the word you brought, or they disregard it completely and go somewhere else and do whatever. You're going, then why ask? You know, why ask? It's frustrating. Matthew 12:46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The things of the world pull. And comes with it guilt and all kinds of things trying to pull you over and get you maybe where you shouldn't be. But Jesus said, my family's the one that hears the word of God and does it. Okay. Mark 4, parable of the sower. Verse 14 says, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. What do trees do? They bring forth fruit. But circumstances, the devil came and circumstances happened and caused them to forget about it. I think that a lot of people just do not have they don't understand seed time and harvest. They don't understand faith. They've never been taught how to walk in it. Their idea of a good sermon is going somewhere where they feel good, but they don't learn anything. How does it get me through the week? Can you tell me what the preacher taught on Sunday? No. What good does that do? All right, I'm going to look at Song of Solomon. This is chapter 2, that little bitty book over there that probably doesn't get read very often, but it has a lot of wisdom in it. Solomon, as far as I know, wrote it. Since it's Song of Solomon, you'd think so. Yeah. All right, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. You know the serenity prayer about only one set of footsteps in the sand? And the Lord says, well, the one set of footprints you saw was me. I was carrying you. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her great green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, O my dove. that art in the clefts of the rock and in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Take us to foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. So this is the Lord, and this is how he wants us to live. Carefree, basking in his love at all times. He wants to have a banquet. He wants us to have the best, enjoy things, not just make it through another day, fall in the bed, and then it's kind of like I don't know where this is in the Old Testament, but it was like they'd go to bed, they'd be so weird, they'd fall in the bed, and then they'd wish all night that it was daylight so they could get up. That's no way to live. Where is it? Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, about the curse. That's what a curse is. Yeah, you don't enjoy anything, not any time. He doesn't like that. But see, that's a decision. That's a decision that we make. Either we're going to be down in the mouth and us battling all the time and all this mess, or either we're going to say, Lord, I trust you. I thank you. All right. We don't want little foxes spoiling our vines. Those thoughts come in and just nib, they start chewing. This is that harvest. Starts chewing. All right. Our hearts, our mind, will, and emotions are the production center. Our heart is our mind, our will, in some instances, mind, will, and emotions. In Proverbs 4, that's what it means. We're going to look at Proverbs 4. We're starting with verse 14 there. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, mind, will, emotions, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, it's out of our thinking processes that we create death and life are in the power of the tongue. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Up to you. Right here in the Strong's heart, the feelings, the will, and even the intellect, the center of anything. Don't allow your feelings, your will, or your intellect make your decisions. Do you not realize that God has an answer for whatever thing that arises? If you won't let your emotions get in the way, God will make a way of escape for you. See, that's seeking first the kingdom. You're going to Him for the answer. Instead of letting the raging thoughts or whatever dictate to you how it's going to be. All right. Let's go over to 2 Peter. For if after after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So the enemy wants us to go back there in our mind, taking us back, where we forget all that we've learned and all that we know. He takes us back in our minds. He has made an escape route out of the hand of the enemy. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have several, but this is a really good one. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But this scripture goes with it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. Here's the two masters. You can go back in your mind. Forget what you know, like the pig in the mud. Yep. Strong here, the word escape means an exit. An exit. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape except God's. That's the only escape. Isn't this what living from the inside out is all about? The whole world is running about trying by the thoughts of the enemy or, you know, in the arm of the flesh to work out all their problems. Only God, our inside source, has the answers. That's what puts me at enmity, not enmity, but not in alliance with a lot of the truthers because they seem to want to leave God out. And they say they love God and everything, but out of their mouth they speak stuff that's contrary. Yeah. It's because they don't know God's ways. They may mean well, but they really don't know what they're talking about. All right. Only the inside source has the answers. Q knows a lot, but he don't know as much as God. Yeah. All right, Galatians 4, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So it's very naive to think you're going to go back to your old thinking and God's going to perform, make a way of escape. No. No. Not going to happen. It is a huge temptation to just get quiet. It's a huge temptation to just get quiet and look inside and do nothing until you hear what God has to say. Or it's not a huge temptation. I don't think I worded that right. Well, James tells us what we need to do about it, regardless if I wrote it down right or not. It's a temptation not to listen, not to pull aside and look inside. It's seems easier sometimes to just react in the flesh and go about like a chicken with its head cut off, saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? All right, James 4, just a few more. James chapter 4, 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow, that's a big statement. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then he goes on, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, that he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whole world lives like this. They just live for themselves, whatever they want to do. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such boasting is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Lord will take care of you if you will stop trying to take care of yourself. If you're always evaluating yourself and trashing yourself, stop it. I told someone today, it's none of their business. This is God's program. He's working in us. There's times I think, Lord, I'm surprised you hadn't dealt with me about that. I keep blowing it in that area. And he hadn't said a word. Well, he will in his own good time, I guess. Yeah. This is just another thing for us to start doubting ourselves, and the devil can get right in there, slather right in there, take you down dark trails that the Lord doesn't want you going. Okay, Matthew 15:13. I quoted it at first. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's what we're going through. We're learning to walk by faith. We're learning to ask God about things. Seek first the kingdom. What is he doing? He's uprooting things out of us. We don't do things the way we used to because we've learned. We've learned to follow the Spirit and do things by the Spirit. Are we perfect yet? No. But we're doing better. Okay, one more scripture. Colossians 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So why would we go to anybody else than the one that has made us complete? And he's been made unto us wisdom. So if we need to know, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It says he'll give it to you. He won't hold it back from you. But don't be double-minded. Nothing wavering. Come in faith and expect to receive the answer. Don't go off, I hadn't heard nothing, so I'm just going to go do what I think. Well, no. They that wait upon the Lord are the ones that renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Yeah. Because when the Lord finally does answer you, what he tells you to do will take care of everything. Yeah.